listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, April 10th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Being a Good Neighbor.
Boy, don't you love to hear men sing? Isn't that good? Amen. That is good. Take your Bible and go back, please. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 8. The Bible says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that, watch what it says, they have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And I want to talk this morning about why and how to do good works. Why and how to do good works. I was reading the other day, and at first, when we first started thinking about doing the Love Thy Neighbor Week, I thought about, well, you know, that'd be a great way to be able to get people in church. I mean, that's just my mindset. That'd be a great way to get people in church. And what you do is you go up and you do something, and then after you do something, you invite them to church. Then I kept reading my Bible, how the Lord went about doing good. I mean, he just went about doing good. There was no underlying motive for doing good. He just went about doing good. He went through the villages doing good, and he went through the mountains doing good. And basically, our Lord did that which was good. And I thought, you know, we've got that backwards. You know, we're not supposed to do good for a purpose of trying to get somebody to do something for us, or to try and get somebody to be a part of something. And so I got thinking about that, praying about that, and I thought, you know, let's just change it. Let's switch it around. Let's just preach on doing good, and let's just go out and do good to other people. And let them know where you go to church, that's fine. And let them know who you are, and let them know you're doing it in the name of the Lord. But don't do it to try and get them in. Let's just go love people. Amen. Let's just go love people. Just go out and love some people this week and let people know that you love them and just go about doing that which is good. Well, the Bible talks here about that very thing. The Bible says God might be careful to maintain good works. The things are good and profitable unto man. You know, we don't do good works to be able to go to heaven. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we don't do good works in order to obtain salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so you don't do good works to be able to merit heaven, but after you get saved, it's a very good thing to do good works. And so let me give you a couple of ideas about why and how to do good works. Let me give you some whys. Over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible says how that God, it says, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. Now I say this morning that good works is not limited to money only. Good works is not limited to money only, but our Lord went about doing good and it had nothing to do with that which is money. So some may say, well, I'm going to do something in a monetary way to be able to show others that I love them and the Lord loves them and the Lord's been good, and that's good too. But you know, sometimes just a note, sometimes just a card, sometimes just a text, sometimes just a phone call, sometimes just a pat on the back, sometimes maybe a giving of yourself to be able to give to somebody else. You know, the Bible says, as a man's gift maketh room for him. How many times has your wife written you a letter, a note, and because of that, you felt her heart, if you would, you understood her heart because she expressed it in the writing of words, all right? And so there's that which is doing good. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they do good. The Bible says that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, the Bible says, willing to communicate. So God says for those that have the money to do so, then certainly they ought to use their money to do good. So statement number one, I said, good works is not limited to giving money only. Good works is not limited to giving money only. You're sitting here this morning and you say, well, I know that this next week, Parkside Baptist Church is going to practice Love Thy Neighbor Week, but I really don't have any money. You can mow somebody's lawn, but I really don't have any money. You could wash somebody's windows, but I really don't have any money. You could go over and trim somebody's hedges, but I really don't have any money. You could roof somebody's house, but I really don't have any money. You could change somebody's oil, but I really don't have any money. You could take and go over and help somebody to wash their clothes or to fold their clothes or to clean their house. Or you could do any number of things in order to be able to show somebody that you just love them. All right. Good works is think about this. It pays good dividends. Good works pays good dividends. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6, the Bible says, but I say, watch this, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's good dividends. You go over and you sow sparingly, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap, all right? And so as I go out, here's what God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right? So I'm saying that doing good works is not limited to money only. I'm saying statement number two, good works pays good dividends. As you go out and you sow sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. When I came up on a farm, when I was younger, we had a 280-acre farm, and we planted that farm with all sorts of different crops. I mean, we had corn, and we had wheat, and we had all sorts of different crops that was on our farm. Did you know we would go out, and if we chose to rotate, which we did, we chose to rotate fields, and certain fields we would not plant in that particular year. We would rotate those fields so that the soil would be able to regain its composure to be able to produce a better crop. And we would rotate those fields. Now, may I say, in those fields that we did not work, those fields we would look at would lie in waste for that particular season or that harvest time. We did not work those fields, but we would rotate those fields. The other fields that we did work, the other fields that we did put the crop in, the other fields that we did be able to give our attention to, that's where the harvest came in. If one year we would decide not to put any type of a seed or not to put any type of labor into a field, there'd be no harvest. So if we expect a harvest, then we have to go out and sow. If you want love, I'm saying that it might be good to go out and love somebody else. If you want forgiveness, then it might be good to go out and forgive somebody else. If you want somebody to be able to have some, if you want joy, you're lacking some joy in your life, why don't you go out and give somebody else some joy? If you're lacking different things in your life, instead of sitting around being somebody that's sucking on your thumb and thinking, boy, I tell you what, I'm feeling sorry for myself, why don't you decide that you're going to go out and help somebody else and love somebody else and encourage somebody else, and don't do it for any other reason, just to go out and say, I love you and I want to help you and I want to be a blessing to you. You know, when you pat somebody else on the back, you ought not be doing it so that you can get patted back on your back. When you give somebody a note, you ought not to give that note just so somebody else can give you a note. Now, by the way, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you can expect that God will make sure that you get the reaping, but you're not supposed to do it for that purpose. You're supposed to decide that you're going to love somebody just for the sheer fact of giving somebody else just a little bit of love, just a little bit of encouragement, just a little bit of help along the way. Hey, whatever happened to a Christian just being nice? Whatever happened to a Christian just being sincere? Whatever happened to a Christian opening the door for somebody else before you open the door for yourself? Whatever happened to a Christian giving somebody else the place in line because they're in a hurry? Yes, you're in a hurry, but they're in a hurry too. Whatever happened to driving up into a parking lot and letting somebody else have the closest parking spot to the building? Whatever happened to getting up early in the morning and fixing mom and dad breakfast in bed? Whatever happened to the teenagers that just decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the one that does the laundry all week long just to show you how much I love you. I mean, whatever happened to just being Christian? And listen, here's what we see. The Bible teaches that good works is not limited to giving money only. Statement number one. Statement number two, good works is not it's not something that you're not going to reap from. There is good dividends. Statement number three, good works should be done silently, not boastfully. That just kind of takes away from it. Well, you know what I did? Let me tell you what I did. I mean, come on, pat me on the back, because if you don't, I'm going to do it anyway. All right? Now, wait a minute, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, listen to it, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Watch it, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, so the Bible says here, then let your light shine. Now why? Not so that they can glorify you. You do good works. Why? So they can glorify your Father. You go about and just do good works so that somebody else can say, boy, I tell you what, you know, boy, I thank God that you're a Christian. I've never met anybody like you before, and thank God that you're doing what you're doing. Now, why do we do that? We do that simply to show that we don't have to be boastful about something. You ever give somebody a secret gift? You ever give somebody a gift and they don't know where it came from? Have you ever been over somebody's house and you know that they're having a hard time with food? And so you take some groceries in a box or in a bag, and you want to see what they're going to do, but you don't want them to know where it came from. And so you put it on their doorstep, and you ring the bell, and then you run down the road and you hide in the bushes just to see what their response is going to be. You know, when you do good works, when you do those good works, it doesn't have to be something that's vocal. You know, you could help somebody pay a bill. You don't have to tell them you helped them. You could give somebody groceries, but you don't have to tell where they came from. You could buy somebody a gift, but you don't have to say, hey, did you get my gift? I sacrificed a lot to give you that gift. That just kind of takes away from it. I'm saying that good works is not necessarily limited to money alone. I'm saying that good works pays good dividends. I'm saying that good works can be done silently. Statement number four. Good works adore the doctrine of God. Good works adore the doctrine of God. Listen to it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, says with shamefacedness. The Bible says in sobriety, not with the broidering of hair or gold or pearl or costly array, says by which becometh women professing godliness with good works. God says that a lady, of course, is not supposed to adorn herself to draw attention to herself, but to draw attention to her God. And then he emphasizes the way to really draw attention to your God is by good works. He said that's the way to make God's doctrine look acceptable. Because after all, it was Jesus that went about doing good. And as you go about doing good, it does not hurt the doctrine of God. It draws attention. It helps people to adorn the gospel of God. So I'm saying that good works not necessarily is limited to money. I'm saying that good works pays good dividends. I'm saying that good works should be done silently. I'm saying that good works adorns the doctrine of God. Statement number five, good works should be that which is motivated by the power of love. Motivated by the power of love. Now, come on. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but when I was a little boy, I was interested in baseball. But I wasn't just interested in playing baseball. I was interested in the ball itself. So I wondered, what's inside of that ball? I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but I took my penknife and I sliced open the outward cover of that ball. I mean, I took the covering off. And it looked like a bunch of strings. And so I started to, and they were glued together tight. So I had to take my penknife and run down beside the little string, and then I'd get it started, and I'd start to pull it. Once you got it started, it was pretty easy. And so you just kept pulling it, and I'm talking about yards and yards and yards and yards of string. And you kept pulling off, and then there was a little round type of ball in the very, very center there. Now, wait a minute. You know what that was? Those strings constrained. It held that ball together. That's what it's talking about. Where it says the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what it means? It means the love of Christ really holds you together. You know, when you love somebody else, here's what it does. It holds you together. I was preaching the youth conference over in the Philippines last week, and we had a great crowd, and praise the Lord for that. But as I was preaching, to begin with, they were kind of cold. You know, sometimes you have to give somebody a little bit of time, watch me now, so that you can warm up to them and they can warm up to you. You know, you can't necessarily judge somebody on the very first time you meet them. Because if you judge them on the very first time you meet them, they might have been having a bad day. If you judge them on the very first time that you meet them, they might have a cold and they look mad. If you judge them on the very first time you meet them, you know, they might have been having a bad day because after all, they just got a deduction in pay. So you cannot necessarily judge somebody on the first time you meet them. And so I went to preach and I thought, man, this is going to be a pretty cold crowd this week. You know, and so I prayed, and we had a good altar call. I mean, we had a really good altar call, and God was working even in the first service. But you know, when I was preaching, some of them were just kind of staring at me. And I thought, you know, you're just not with it, are you? But then I just kept preaching, and they got on board. Amen. Boy, and I tell you, that last night I preached, I gave that invitation for those for full-time Christian service, and they came, and then I gave an invitation for those that would be willing to do the will of God, no matter where God leads them. And there was more people that came than stayed in their seat. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be. When God begins to work in your heart, it ought to provoke you. It ought to motivate you. And we ought to be motivated by the love of God, if for nothing else. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We ought to be motivated by God giving his son. And that ought to motivate us. If he can give his son, how much more could we give little things? If he gave his only begotten son, how much more can you give your wife time or give your husband time? Or how much more could you decide that you're going to give something else to somebody else? I'm saying that it ought to be motivated by that, which is the love that you have for somebody else and the love that God has given you to show through you. I'm saying, statement number one, that good works is not necessarily limited to money. I'm saying statement number two, good works pays good dividends. Statement number three, good works is done silently. Statement number four, good works shows or adorns the doctrines of God. Statement number five, good works is motivated by love. Statement number six, I want to give it to you. Think about this. Good works can be practically seen. Practically seen. Here's what your Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Bible says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas we speak against the evildoers, that they may, it says, by your good works, listen to it, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of salvation. So as we show forth good works, it helps people get an appetite for the gospel. Because it's so uncommon nowadays. When you do something good, people want to know why. Especially in Western civilization. You know, in our society, we are tight. We live to ourselves and we try to die to ourselves, though that'll never happen. But we're tight. So when you go out and you start doing something good for somebody else, it puts a question in the back of their mind. Why is he doing that? Why is she being that kind? What is up with her? And nobody else has ever been that kind before, all right? And so what it does is it opens up a door to be able to give that gospel. Now let's take your Bible, please, very speedily this morning. Go to the book of Luke chapter 10. I want you to see something about someone that practiced a good work. Luke chapter 10, we'll do a quick Bible study. I've got about 20 minutes left, and that's about it. But I want you to see something as we study our Bible, and I want you to see about that which is a person that did good works. Here, of course, is a man in a journey. The man in the journey is going 20 miles from one city to another city. Going from Jerusalem over to Jericho was a 20-mile stretch. So he's walking down a 20-mile road, and something happens in his life that changes his life forever. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. The Bible says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on the other side. So here comes this religious man, and he looks at somebody that's hurt. He looks at somebody that's destitute. He looks at somebody that is half dead. He looks at somebody that's been robbed, has been stricken, and left there in the ditch to die. And here this religious man is, and he gets a nose, if you would please, for pride. He sticks his nose up, and he doesn't even go over to check on the guy. He walks on the other side. Now, may I say that your Christianity ought to be better than that? If you see somebody that's hurting, you ought to take time to be able to stop and help them and not be like this priest that sticks his nose up in the air and walks on the other side. But the Bible says here in verse 32, likewise it says a Levite, watch what it says. It says when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed on the other side. So here's a religious guy, here's a priest if you will, he doesn't even come close. He doesn't even come to the side of the road where the thief is lying and half dead. He stays on his side of the road and maybe hears the groaning, but he looks over from a distance and doesn't even get close. Then here comes the Levite. The Levite comes over and looks. And then he passes by. Doesn't touch him. Doesn't help him. Now he's getting closer to being what he should be, but he's not where he should be. But then here's what the Bible says in verse 33. The Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. The Bible says as he journeyed. So he is taking a journey by purpose. He is on a mission. He is on a journey of intent. In other words, he is journeying from one destination to another. He's not just walking by. Doesn't say that about the priest. The priest is just walking by, perhaps all has all the time in the world. Doesn't say that about the Levite. Levite, you know he had time because he came over, looked, and then he walked on. But here's a man that's in a journey. Here's a businessman that is leaving one point to get to another point. He's in his journey. He is on his desk. He's there by purpose. He is busy. But the Bible says, watch this in verse 33. It says, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, it says, came to where he was. And he saw him and had compassion on him. The Bible says, and when he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. It says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out two pence and gave, it says, to them, it says, to the host and said to them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. And now it says, there are three, thinkest thou, it says, was a neighbor when thou fellest among the thieves. And he said, go and show mercy on him. And the Lord said on him, go and do thou likewise. And so here's what he said. He said, here's a story that we can understand how to go and do likewise. Don't be like the priest. God's going to bring some people across your path this week that's hurting. And God's going to bring some people across your path this week that needs your attention. And God's going to bring, purposely, I do believe, because we have decided this is the direction that God wants us to go. I promise you, God's going to look down and say, you learned the truth this week. And I'm expecting you to take the truth that I've given you and to do something with the truth. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. And so as you learn the truth about loving others and helping others, don't just be the priest that passes by on the other side. Don't be the Levite that comes up and is nosy and looks down and says, oh yeah, I see you've got a problem. Oh yeah, you're depressed. Oh yeah, you're left half dead, but I'm too busy. I'm going to walk away. No, you be like that Samaritan. He's on his journey. He's busy. We're all busy. Have you ever felt so busy you didn't want to give anybody any attention? But when you broke away from your busyness just to love somebody, you felt good? When you broke away from your busyness just to say, I appreciate you, and you sent somebody a card, or you called somebody on the phone, or you text somebody, or you stopped somebody in a hallway, or you patted somebody on the back, you felt good after that. Now, wait a minute. Let's notice this. Look at verse 33. Give you some statements. Number one, notice the feet of the Samaritan. The Bible says, and he came to where he was. Verse 33. And so he used his feet to bring himself to somebody else's need. Most of the time, in order to help somebody else, you've got to allow yourself to go to where they are. You've got to allow yourself to go to where they are. Most of the time, people's not going to come to you. Most of the time, people that are in need are ashamed. So they're not going to come to you and say, can you help me? Most of the time, you're going to have to look for somebody that has a need, and you go to them to help. When I was in Brooklyn, New York, many years ago, I was a school teacher. I was an assistant pastor, youth pastor, worked at a lot of different ministries, bus ministry, whole nine yards. But one of the things I did, I was a school teacher in our academy of the fifth and sixth grade boys and girls. So I taught fifth and sixth grade in our academy. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Did you know that many, many times I would see young people that had a need? And as I saw young people that had a need, I looked at that as an opportunity to go love their parents. I looked at that as an opportunity to go help somebody else. I remember there was a young man I led to the Lord. His name was Rico. Mrs. Wells, remember Rico. Rico, I led Rico to the Lord, and he was a gangbuster. And he was out on the streets of Brooklyn, New York, and I stopped Rico, and he was with his gang. And I walked into the gang and said, fellas, I want to talk to you a little bit. I want you to listen to me. And they, hey, come on, man. We don't want anything to do with that. And I said, no, you stand here. Let me talk to you. I started to give them the gospel, and everybody walked away. Rico did not walk away. Rico was a gangbuster type of guy. And there was a fellow by the name of Leon Aguilera. You remember Leon? Leon Aguilera was used of the Lord that when Rico started coming to church, he poured his life into Rico. You know, Rico got saved, and now Rico is a missionary on a mission field. There was a guy by the name of Miguel Galan, and Miguel Galan is now serving the Lord on the mission field. There's Leon. Leon's a pastor now in Brooklyn, New York, serving the Lord. You know, but and somebody where you just reach out and you touch somebody and you love somebody and you help somebody. I remember there was a girl in the youth department up there many years ago, and I do this. I mean, don't get wrong impression here, but I'll go up and I'll say, yeah, I sure do love you, Matt. I appreciate you and I love you. And I don't have a problem with doing that. I don't have a problem with going up and saying, you know, man, I sure do love you. You stay faithful. You stay with it, man. You're a good guy. You know, I don't have a problem with doing that. Girls, I love you and I appreciate you. You know, I'm excited about you serving Jesus Christ. Wow, boy, I'm excited. You know, and I don't have a problem with doing something like that. Because I think everybody needs to hear somebody say, look, I love you and I believe God can use you. I believe people need to hear that. Man, I remember this one little girl, and Mrs. Wells remembers one little girl too. She was a teenage girl, and boy, you know, I would tell her, I would say, you know, I sure do love you, and I'm proud of you, and you just keep going. You just keep going for the Lord. And she started crying, and she said, you know, preacher, nobody has ever said that to me. I said what? That they love me and they believe that God could use me. Did you know that's a part of doing good works? You know, just to believe in somebody, help somebody, love somebody. Come on. Oh, come on. You know, if I was preaching one of these stirring messages and I was hot this morning, I was getting up here and I was nailing Hyde, I promise you, you'd be shouting the house down. But when it comes back to loving people, that's work. You know, you're supposed to love your wife even though your wife might not give you the love that you think that you deserve. Come on. I'm saying this morning that his feet took him to the place. The Bible says he came to where he was. He wasn't snotty. He wasn't stuck up. He wasn't saying, well, look at me. I'm somebody. And I know the scriptures like I know the scriptures because I'm a priest and I walk with God so and so. And boy, he wasn't saying, boy, I'm a Levite and I'm of the lineage and the heritage of a great family. And I was born a Levite. And so that's the way I am. And that's the way I serve. And so I am going to go look, but I'm not going to touch it. Might get me dirty. No. Here's the Samaritan. He allowed God to use his feet to take him to somebody else, to help somebody else. And that's the way we're supposed to be. You've got a neighbor. You've got a friend. You've got somebody this week that needs your help, that needs your encouragement. You're not supposed to be lazy. You're not supposed to be somebody's withdrawn. You're supposed to rise up and go help somebody. I'm saying this morning, here's what you see. You see that he used his feet to be able to get to where that person was. Statement number one, his feet. Statement number two, his eyes. The Bible says, and he saw him. Verse 33, saw him. He is paying close attention. He's looking. That shows me he's observant. Has your wife ever walked in and said, honey, do you notice anything different about me? Now, you better be careful how you answer that question. You know, when Jesus was asked questions, many times wisely, he would answer it with a question. And he did it so that their hearts would be revealed. Now, maybe you should say, well, of course I noticed something different. But what do you want to point out? You know, the worst you could do is she says, honey, do you notice anything different about me? Well, of course not. Have you changed? I mean, poof. Or, you know, yeah, it's your hair. Boy, you did something to your hair. And she says, no. Yeah. It's your face. No. It's a new dress. You've not bought me a new dress in 32 years. Oh, wait, here's what you see. He used his feet to get to where he was, and then he opened his eyes. He saw that there was a need. Now, open your eyes this week and let God pray this week and say, dear God, show me how I can be a blessing to someone. Show me how I can show somebody else the love of God. Put some things on my heart that I can help with my employees. Put some things on my heart that I can help with those that are my peers. Put some things on my, show me. God, I'll be willing to take my feet and go wherever you want me to go. But God, just do me a favor this week and open my eyes and help me to see in the places that I walk, people that I can help in your name. I'm saying statement number one, he used his feet. Then he used his eyes. Listen to his heart. Look at verse 33. And he had compassion on him. So first off, he used his feet to get to where they were. Then he opened his eyes and he saw their need. Then he thought on it. You know, you cannot have compassion on somebody unless you think on them. Did you know that? You know, I don't know if all pastors do this. I don't know if it's just a Wells thing. Not really sure. But I take time. And I really do. I earnestly do this. I take time to think about people. I don't want to get so busy in life that I forget people. Rebecca McCarty and Gracie sent me sent it to my entire family, but sent me also a link to a graduation day of celebration. You know, and they went to this rose garden, and boy, you know, they took pictures of this, and they put their graduation rings inside flowers, and then they made all these poses beside trees, and all, I mean, you know, just really neat. You know, I took time. I was busy last night. I mean, I was up late last night. Hadn't slept for, you know, over 30 hours. And I mean, I was a little bit tired. And my brain was about warped. But did you know when I sat there and I viewed that, that helped my heart to go deeper towards them? You know, you've got to take time to be with people. You know, life is too quick. And I don't want our church to ever, and I love Parkside Baptist Church, and I'm telling you, one of the greatest churches in all of the Dallas Metroplex is right here. Because our church has a heart, and our church is reaching out, and our church is loving people, and all these adult Sunday school classes, and all these children classes that we're starting, and all these programs that are already going, and it's just another way to reach out and say, look, I just want you to know that we love you, and we want to help you, and we want to be close to you, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, he used his feet to carry him to a certain place. Then when he got there, he opened his eyes. But he didn't just open his eyes. He allowed his eyes to affect his heart. The Bible says that he had compassion. He's opening up his heart and he's got compassion. And he's looking down. Hey, that guy's never going to be able to repay him. That guy's never going to be able to justifiably give him back anything like he's about to give to him. That wasn't the important thing. He's taking his feet. He's walking. He's taking his eyes. He's looking. He's taking his heart. He's identifying. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to do something to get. You're simply supposed to give. I'm saying this morning, his feet carried him to where they should have carried him. His eyes looked in the direction that he should have looked. His heart began to think with compassion about what he was supposed to think about. Look at verse 34. The Bible says, and he bound up his wounds. So now he's using his hands. He uses his feet to carry him. His eyes to look upon. His heart to think upon. Now he uses his hands. The Bible says he bound up his wound. By the way, that takes time. If you're going to bound, look, it's easy to meet somebody's need that doesn't have any needs. Because whether you meet them or not, they're really not existing. It's easy to buy somebody a cup of coffee that already has the money to buy the coffee. It's easy to mow somebody's lawn when they already have the money to maybe hire somebody else to mow the lawn. But here, he went to a man that wasn't able to do nothing in return. He went to a man that was hurting. He went to a man that was less fortunate than himself. And by the way, it's easy to counsel somebody and have fellowship with somebody that has no problems. We can go out with a couple, and the Butlers and I went out, and Mrs. Wells and I went out a couple weeks ago, and we sat down, and the Fentons are coming over tomorrow night, and we're going to spend some time with them, quality time, and we've had people come over to the house for Christmas, and we've gone out with different people, and there's still people that we're going to go out with and to invite and to love and to be close to. But now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. I'm saying this, that what he did is he used his feet to get to where somebody was, and he used his eyes to be able to look upon, and he used his heart to be able to think upon, but it didn't stop there, because the Bible says he reached down. You know, it's a whole lot harder to bound up wounds than it is just to get with somebody in fellowship. Did you know that? You know, there's some people that come to my office for counseling, and some people come to my office for counseling and we're in there a whole hour or more because there's wounds that need to be bound up. You know, when you go to bind somebody's wounds up, it takes a whole lot more time. When you go to, come on. Okay, so you get a splinter underneath the nail of your finger and it hurts. But it's a whole lot easier to remove the splinter underneath the nail than it is to perform heart surgery. And we ought never to get so busy that we're not willing to perform a heart surgery. To be able to be close to someone when they need that closeness. All right, wait a minute. I'm saying that he used his feet to carry him to where he was, used his eyes to see his need, used his heart to think upon his need, used his hands to bound up the wounds. Look at this, if you will, verse 34, the Bible says, and he put him on his own beast. Now, what's he doing? He's sacrificing. He said, look, I helped to bind you up, but I'm not going to leave you now. I helped to give you marital counseling, but I just don't think it's over yet. I helped you with your rebellious teenager, and yes, they're going down the right path right now, but there's still some more. Hey, I helped you to be able to come to know Christ as your Savior, and yes, you obeyed the Lord, but we're not done yet. See, true friendship, and by the way, any marriage that will have a good marital balance Any parent that's going to have a good balance with rearing children will understand there needs to be sacrifice. And he understood, here's a new friend. Here's a person that was wounded. Here's a person that was laying there in despair. I went over. I did my best. But I'm not just going to walk away from it and leave the guy hanging. I can't take him on my journey. I can't drag this guy in, this full wounds, into this business meeting I'm about to happen. Can't do that. But I don't want to leave him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my best to bind him up. And then I'm going to do my best to make sure he's well cared for. Watch this. I'm almost done. The Bible says in verse 34, the Bible says took care of him. So here's what he did. Here's his concern. You see, a sacrifice. Now he shows his concern. Then he tells to that which is the keeper of the inn, I will repay in verse 35. He said, whatever it takes, when I come back, I promise you, I will repay. Okay, let me go over. I'm done. Here's the priest walks by, religious guy. Walks by, hears the groanings, looks over there, sees a guy left half dead. But you know, just walking by. By the way, not on a journey. Not on a business trip. Not a very busy guy. Just walking by casually, looks over there, sees the guy hurt, just keeps walking. Doesn't even get close. I don't know about you, but I don't want that type of religion. Here's the Levite. Levite walks over, looks at the guy. He said, oh, man, look at him, sees him, and walks away. Doesn't bend over, doesn't touch him, doesn't encourage him, doesn't help him. I don't want that. Here's a businessman in a journey. He's walking 20 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho, 20-mile stretch. He's in a journey. He's going from this town to that town. As he goes over there in the journey, he walks over. He sees the guy. He begins to think. He begins to meditate on it. His heart is gripped as he saw with his eyes. He reaches down into his life. He's not going to get repaid. Nobody's going to pat him on the back. Nobody's going to send him a thank you letter. Nobody's going to take and say, I appreciate what you did. Nobody's watching. There is no witnesses. He simply bends over, binds up the wounds, takes care of him, sacrifices out of his own pocket. Listen, he's got the wherewithal to be able to do it. He opens up, he looks, he cares, he's concerned. That's the way we're supposed to be. I'm saying go about and do some good works this week. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Isn't it neat? My favorite time at Christmas time is not when I get a gift. My kids ask all the time, Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? I tell them the same thing. I've told them the same thing for probably 10 years. I said, Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? I say, 3x5 cards. What else you want? That's all I want. Well, don't you want anything else? I just want 3x5 cards. I use them like they're going out of style. So just buy me 3x5 cards. I'm happy. But Dad, don't, no. 3x5 cards. Oh, wait a minute, watch this. My joy at Christmas is not opening up, and they do much more, by the way. Let me help my kids out. I mean, they take good care of me. But now, and my wife does too. But watch this. My joy at Christmas time is not opening up boxes of 3x5 cards or whatever else. You know what my joy is? My joy is watching my wife, something I know she wanted, and I love her deeply. And she begins to open, and I know what's in the box. I mean, I wrapped it. Well, Rebecca wrapped it. But I know what's in the box. And I know the deliberate purchase that I made. You know what my joy is? Honestly. And Heather's new on board with the Wells family. And I'm getting to know Heather and getting to love her even more and more and more. And not as much as Jonathan, but, you know, hey. But she's new to the Wells family. And my joy is finding out things that she likes. To me, that's a joy. You know why? That way I can tell her husband. Makes him look good. No, but my joy. Now, you know, at Christmas time or birthday time or just a special time. You know, I was heading to the Philippines and I saw this book. And I thought, you know, Miss Wells would really like that book. And so I signed the book and gave it to Heather. And I said, mail this to Mrs. Wells after I'm gone. You know why? Because when you really love somebody, you want to give. And it's an excitement there to be able to do things for people. Now I want to challenge you. Here it is and I'm done. You find some people this week. You find some people that maybe you could put $5 of gas in their gas can or their tank. You find somebody to bake some cookies for this week. You find somebody just to go up and just to love on them a little bit. Yeah, and now we do want you to give them that card and let them know that we love them too, because we want to continue to serve them. But now wait, just decide to go love somebody and help somebody. That's what that man did. By the way, here's what he said. He said, look, whatever it takes, that's how come on that card. You'll see that card when you pass it out. Down at the bottom, it says, let us know if we can do anything to help. Now, why do we say that? Because when the Samaritan left, he said, look, whatever he needs, you take care of it. And he said, when I come back, he said, I'll repay. I just want to be a help. And if Parkside is known for anything around the country, yes, it ought to be known as a soul winning church. It ought to be known as a church that reaches out to other people, but it ought to be known as a church also that says, look, we just love you, and we just want to be a help.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.